Thanks, Issy, for extra emphasis on trusting one another. It's funny, whenever you're trying to work with technology, you can almost guarantee there's something that's going to go wrong. And today's one of those days where, even when I woke up, there's all kinds of things. We've got builders in our house working on our house right now, because we're getting the loft converted so that Julie's father can come and stay with us. And so there's all these different things that we're making adjustments for, and Andy's come in and fixed our boiler as well and sorted out some stuff there, and there's all these things going on, and life at this point is on the edge of out of control. And so a little bit chaotic, and even when I got to church this morning, I had a phone call this morning. Diana asked, can you bring the children's ministry stuff that's kept in our garage? But of course there's a skip outside the garage, so we can't open the garage door, so we've got to bring it round the other way, and it says all this stuff, and so just trying to get everything together. And so I was rushing around, and when I got to church, I've been here about 20 minutes before I noticed that I'm actually wearing two different shoes on my feet. And so I'm sitting there thinking, how did that happen? And the funny thing is, none of the brothers would have known. It's only the sisters who look at the shoes and take an interest. But you know, in this second clip, one of the things you see here is that you see why this Jean Valjean had trouble trusting. Because of the challenges in his life, because of the issues that he'd gone through. And similarly, you can understand why this woman would have had trouble, would have been hesitant to open up, particularly after all the years. I mean, they're talking 12 years of disappointment. But let's read further. So in verse 35, he's just said to the woman, go, your faith has healed you. In verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. How would you have felt? You're Jairus, and you're on your way, you've been delayed, but okay, finally Jesus says to the woman, go, and now you can get moving again to make your way to your home so your daughter can be healed, and then someone comes and says it's too late. It's all over. Don't bother the master anymore, your daughter is dead. How would you feel? You'd feel at that point, Jesus, I trusted you. And you said you would come, and then you delayed, and now she's dead. I told you she was on her last gasp. I told you she was at the point of death. She's dying. You'd feel all kinds of emotions. But Jesus simply says to Jairus, he said, don't be afraid, just believe. You know, the key is we just need to put our faith in Jesus. That is the key. That's all we have to do is just trust. You know, if we just simply have faith, then everything will go fine. Just put our faith in Jesus. The Bible tells that there were all kinds of people pressing in on Jesus. There were crowds pressing in on him. Why were they pressing in on him? They probably all had needs of one kind or another. And yet it was only the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment who was healed. And Jesus says, power's gone out from me, and who touched me? She was healed. What about everyone else who was touching Jesus? How come they weren't all healed? Jesus says, your faith has healed you. She came in faith. And it's not just about going through the motions. It's not just about fulfilling certain actions. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. It's not about just coming to church and as a out of habit. If our lives are not based on faith in Jesus, then we can come along and have all the right actions, but it'll mean nothing. There's got to be a further step. There's got to be, you know what, I'm going to trust and trust completely. You know, it's interesting, because in that clip we just saw, you notice that here's the criminal, and he's thinking, why has God allowed this happen? God is unjust. But then he changes his perspective, and he says, no, you know what, thank you. Thank you for sharing these things with me. Tomorrow I'll be a new man. He just changed his perspective of, okay, you know what? It's so easy to focus on all the issues and the problems instead of actually focusing on the positives. And Jairus could have focused on the negatives. He could have focused on, oh, my daughter's dead. Instead of, no, actually, Jesus is with me. I'm with Jesus. I just need to trust him. Notice this. The Bible says that there were all these people mourning and wailing loudly in verse 38. And that was quite common in that culture. In fact, It was even the poorest person would have at least two flute players and an oppressional mourner there to just to help add to the atmosphere of grieving. And now that was common. And here's Jairus, the synagogue ruler. He probably had loads of people there. That would have probably been organized for him by his servants. And you know that these guys are kind of professional mourners, because look how quickly they change from mourning to laughing in verse 40. So they're all mourning and wailing loudly, and then Jesus says, oh, she's not dead, she's asleep. And then they start laughing. I'd want my money back. Because they're obviously not doing a good job with their mourning. But anyway, Jesus had them removed, and the only people who he allowed to come into the room were people who are not going to detract from faith. Yeah, we've got to have the right people in our lives. Because sometimes, you know what it's like. We have the kind of people around us who moan about everything and complain about everything. And, you know, the people you tend to spend time with are the people who you will become like. And if you're around faithful people, it'll help you to be faithful. But if you're around people who are lacking in faith, it'll steal your faith as well. You know, we've got to make sure that our faith and our trust are in God, and that we put our hope and trust in him. Just finally, because of time, we'll just skip to the very last clip of the this. It follows on.
So we'll use wooden spoons. I don't want to hear anything more about it.
I'm sorry to disturb you.
You caught him.
But I had my eye on this man.
Oh, thank God.
I'm very angry with you, Jean Valjean.
What happened to your eye, Monseigneur?
Didn't he tell you he was our guest last night?
Oh, yes. After we searched his knapsack and found all this silver, he claimed that you gave it to him.
Yes. Of course I gave him the silverware. But why didn't you take the candlesticks? That was very foolish. Madame Gillot, fetch the silver candlesticks. They're worth at least 2,000 francs. Why did you leave them? Hurry. Monsieur Valjean has to get going. He's lost a lot of time. Did you forget to take them?
Are you saying he told us the truth?
Of course. Thank you for bringing him back. I'm very relieved.
Release him.
You're really letting me go?
Didn't you understand the bishop?
Madame Gillot, offer these men some wine. They must be thirsty.
Thank you.
And don't forget. Don't ever forget. You've promised to become a new man.
Promise? Why are you doing this?
Jean Valjean, my brother, you no longer belong to evil. With this silver, I bought your soul. I've ransomed you from fear and hatred. And now I give you back to God.
You know, in a very real way, that's what God has done for us. Is that we deserve punishment, even death, but the Bible tells us that Jesus has ransomed us. He paid the price for our crimes and for our sin. He died in our place, and now we are called to live for God. And you know, when we remember what Jesus has done for us, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that Christ's love compels us. In Romans chapter 2, the Bible tells us that God's kindness leads us to repentance. That when, in Romans 5, the Bible says that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. When we reflect on the fact that Jesus has paid the price for our sins, that's when we need to be willing to go through all the challenges, to step up in faith, allow our faith to be tested, because that's the only way we're going to know it's genuine anyway. But be willing just to put our complete trust in God and say, you know what? You are in control. I will absolutely be a new man and live for you. I pray that we can take some things away with us from this morning. Amen.
Mike, thanks for that sermon. That was a very stirring ending as well, just that movie clip and connecting all of that together. But also, how should we respond? I mean, I appreciate Mike's points just about how Jesus stretches our faith, and he doesn't always give us what we want, but he always gives us what we need. And of course, what's God's purpose is he wants us to become more like Christ. And so what we need is often it's uncomfortable. We just had a situation, our family this week, which wasn't what we wanted, but is what I'm sure myself and Nancy really need, just in dealing with our family situation. And having the right people in our lives. I mean, such a crucial thing that we want people who are going to help us to grow in our faith, grow in our spirituality. And I appreciate Mike Olu, who is just a great brother in my life. I appreciate his integrity, his faith, the way he calls me higher. You know, we should all be really wrestling with that in our Christian relationships. It's been a very encouraging sermon this morning. Plenty for us to be thinking about. We don't, unfortunately, have time for a final song. So I will close out with a prayer. And then we must go and collect our children from the children's ministry classes. Okay, so let's pray. Father, it is it's great to be in your presence. It's great to be together as brothers and sisters. and just reflect on the gospel message, God. Father, we're so grateful for what we're saved from. We're so grateful that you've pulled us out of the darkness of the world and the empty way of life, God, and you give us hope and a future. Father, help us to respond appropriately with faith. Help us to respond with love for one another and love for the lost, God. Father, and most of all, love for you. Father, help us to be obedient and faithful Christians, God, and really take the sermon to heart this morning. Thank you so much, God, just for this fellowship. It is a joy to us, God, and help us to be connected to each other during the course of this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please collect your children.